Amazing Christian Church family. We're glad you're with us this morning. My name is Rob Parlante. I'm the pastor here at Grace Christian Church. And we're streaming live from Monmouth Botanical State Park in beautiful Monmouth County, New Jersey. And we're glad you're with us this morning as we preach to you the Word of God in God's creation in this park. Amen. And I want to encourage you all to listen to the worship set. We just entered into worship. My wife sang three wonderful songs, entering into the presence of God. Amen. And so I'm going to preach a message this morning, and I'm titling that message, Where Are You At? Where are you at? Kind of a question. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 to 9, and also 18 to 23. And that scripture we're going to look at today is a parable, and it's called the Parable of the Sowers that Jesus taught us with. But before we get to the message, I want to make a couple of announcements. Every week I mention this, that my sermon notes are on our website, njgrace.org, and are also on our Facebook page, Grace Christian Church of Monmouth County. I also want to encourage everybody listening to me today, if you were interested, we have a prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 7:30, local Eastern time, and we have a Zoom link on our Facebook page and also on our website. If you want to join us, we'd love to pray with you and pray for you and join our ministry, amen. And lastly, I want to mention, we have a website, a page, and Facebook called Christ in Our Life Movement, where we daily post notes and devotionals about the new covenant, grace, our identity in Christ, and our identification with Christ. Amen. So, the last few weeks I've been talking a lot about knowing and what to know. And I was stressing that we need to really know God. We really need to know who we are in Christ as a Christian. And we really need to know the scriptures. And our go-to source for knowing is, brothers and sisters, the Bible. Amen. The Bible is our go-to source to know about who God is, about our great salvation we have in Christ, and about who we are in Christ. Amen? So make it a priority to get to know the Word of God. Amen? Not in a legalistic way, but just in an intimate way where we spend time with communing with God, and His Word speaks to us. Amen? And He can also speak to us in prayer, amen. But the Word of God is a good vehicle to do that. Because the Word of God is living and active. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The Word of God is living and active. In other words, it says, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces the division of soul and spirit. You know, man is made up of body, soul, and spirit, right? We have a physical body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. The Word of God teaches from the Spirit, teaches our soul what is right and what is wrong, what is from the world, what is from our flesh, or what is from God, amen? So that's what the Word of God does. It teaches our soul, our hearts. The Word of God also goes forth and doesn't return empty. Isaiah 55:11 says, So will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God does not return empty. The Word of God, in other words, say, does not return void. It accomplishes what it's going to accomplish, amen? If a preacher and if a teacher teaches and tells stories, is very eloquent in his presentation, but does not use the Word of God, it doesn't go forth. It doesn't penetrate hearts. Brothers and sisters, that's just a warning to those out in Christian circles. We pray that your preacher, your pastor will teach from the Word of God. Amen? It might be eloquent. It might appear spiritual. But if it's not based on the Word of God, it's empty, brothers and sisters. It doesn't go anywhere. It returns empty. But you know, the word of the cross, the word, is also this. It's foolishness to those who don't believe. It's foolishness to those who don't believe in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, is the power of God. So to some, the word of God is foolishness. But to us who are Christians, to us who know Christ, to us who have Jesus in our hearts and in us, we love it. It's the power of God, amen? It's the power of God because Christ is in us. But you know what? The word of God is going forth. We see this in Acts, you know. When Jesus ascended, he said, the word will go forth and go through Samaria and Judea to all ends of the earth, amen? But some might say, you know, as we get older in life, I've never heard the gospel. I've never heard the word of God. I've never heard anything about Jesus. Well, you know, brothers and sisters, it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, there is no excuse. There are no excuses. Because if when we die physically and we go and we're judged in the future, if we're separated from him, we cannot say, I never heard Jesus. There's no excuses, brothers and sisters. You can't say to God, I didn't know there was a way of salvation through you, because you heard it at least once. You heard it some way and in some fashion. God will do that. Amen. But have you ever wondered why some never believe the gospel? Have you ever wondered why some never ask for the forgiveness of their sins? Why don't they? Why don't they? If everybody really understood the salvation, the great salvation that Christ offers, they would say, yes, I love Jesus. Come into my life. I believe. But why is it some don't? Because brothers and sisters, here's the point that I want to make, one of the big points today, is we are in this thing called a spiritual war. There are demons. There's demons in the demonic realm. There is a Satan. He's also called the evil one. He's also called the devil. He is the great deceiver. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4:14, he's doing this. He's blinding the eyes of the unbeliever. I'll read it. In those whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, this evil one is blinding the eyes of the unbelieving world. And that's the situation we are in today. All the ills, all the issues. Look at our country. Look at the world. The issues can be solved, brothers and sisters, with a new heart and belief in Jesus Christ. But there's a spiritual war going on, and we can't put our heads in the sand and say there isn't. We can't put our heads in the sand and say there is no hell. You know, I just remembered something. As a young believer, we had friends that were wonderful Christians. But they went to a very liberal church. And we had gotten a discussion with them one time about this idea of hell. And they said, well, there is no hell. And then we said, if there is no hell, what are you being saved from, brothers and sisters? There is a hell, there is demons, and there's demonic elements in the world today. And I've heard this said a few times. If you could see what's happening in the spiritual realm, you wouldn't leave your house, brothers and sisters. You'd be staying in your room under the covers, afraid, because that's what's going on. There's a spiritual element of what's happening there out in the world today. And Jesus addresses this. Jesus addresses this in the parable of the sowers. He looks at this, and he gives us this parable in Matthew 13, 3-9. He gives us the parable, and then he explains it in verses 18 to 23. And he says there's four types of people. There's four types of people that are associated in that parable. That's what I want to look at today, these four types of people. And I want you to listen to me today, brothers and sisters, as I preach this, and as I share this wonderful truth, I want you to ask yourself, as you listen to this message, where am I at? Which one of these four people I'm going to describe today is me? Which one of these four types of soils is me? And sisters. Because there's four types of people in the world, and Jesus said it. And these are the four. We're going to talk about this today in my message, my 4 points. They are ones that don't understand the gospel. That's point one. There's ones that don't really believe the gospel. They don't really believe it. They might say they believe, but they don't really believe it. There's some that don't really trust in the Bible. And there's some that truly believe the gospel. Amen? The word of God. So I'm going to read now Matthew 13, 3-9. And we'll open this time in prayer. So have your Bibles, follow along. This is Jesus talking. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's bow our heads and open his time in prayer. Lord Jesus, speak through my lips today to those listening to this message, today, right now, and in the future, through electronic means, through YouTube, through Facebook, through our website, whatever it is. I pray, Lord, your Spirit would penetrate their hearts, that they would look at their lives and say, where am I at spiritually? Where am I at in my relationship to you? I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would work and convince and convict those who don't know you that they need you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So what's a parable? What's a parable? Well, Jesus spoke in parables, and a parable is a story with a spiritual meaning. So it's a story with a spiritual meaning. And Jesus actually gave us 38 different parables in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the interesting thing is there's no parable in the book of John. But the parable today we're looking at of the sower is also recorded in Mark 4:3-20, and also in Luke 8:5-15. So Jesus gives parables. And why do you speak in parables is kind of the question. Why do you do it? And he says, he who has ears, let him hear. He's doing this in a way to say, you know, if you're rejecting me and spiritually not really hungering for me, you're not going to understand the parable. But those who have ears, they understand. Those who are spiritually seeking and wanting to know, understand. So Jesus spoke in parables for that reason, brothers and sisters. And he named this parable the parable of the sower. So in Matthew 3:13, he says this. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And then in verse 18, kind of explaining, he says, hear then the parable of the sower. So that begs the question, what is a sower? What is a sower? Is that a word we use a lot today? I don't know. I hear the word sower a lot in my conversations with people. Do you? But what's a sower? A sower is somebody who plants seed or scatters seed. Right? And I always think about a sower, and I think about that scattering seed of my father. My father lived a few towns away in Spring Lake, and he had a big lot, about a 50-foot wide lot, and his house was on by 300 length long. And the house was about 25 feet set in the front of the lot. And all the way in the back was grass, 200 feet by 50 feet of grass. And I remember years ago going to visit him, and he'd be walking around in the backyard going like this with grass seeds. And I said, Dad, why are you doing that? He said, I'm sowing seeds. He never watered the seed. He just threw grass seed down. Basically, in the spring, a lot, every couple days, went out there throwing seed. And his grass was like a carpet, brothers and sisters. It was always green and thick like a carpet. He was sowing seed. But in this parable, what is the seed? The seed we're going to see is the Word of God. The seed we're going to see is the gospel message. The seed we're going to see is the truths about Jesus Christ. Amen? So now I want to look at the first type of person that don't understand the gospel. And we see that in Matthew 13:4. It says, as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Then Jesus explains the parable, that verse in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one whom seed was sown beside the road. So what do we see? The seed is sown. birds take it away, and the bird is equated to the evil one. So in other words, this evil one has taken away what was sown, what was heard, what was in someone's heart. So brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. Are you a person that has heard the word of God and not understood it to start? Are you a person that's heard the word of God and said, I just don't get it? I don't understand. In this parable, what Jesus is saying is the evil one, also Satan, also the devil, has taken it away from you. What has he done? He snatched it away from you. That is in the demonic realm, the spiritual war we are in. How does he do it? I don't know how he does it, brothers and sisters. I don't know how Satan can snatch it away. But I could say this: diversion, confusion, making you think of other things, and maybe saying to my own self, you know what? I disregard the Bible. I disregard the Word of God. That's a bunch of nonsense. Whatever. He's putting thoughts in your mind in a way and diverting you from the real truth. But that's what he does. Right? He blinds the eyes of the unbeliever, we saw, right? He's blinding the eyes of the unbeliever to the truth. He snatches it away. To deny that is denying what the Word of God says and what Jesus says. So, if that's you, that describes you, and you don't really truly believe, you are spiritually dead, let's say, brothers and sisters, it's true. You are in Adam, we call it, spiritually dead, and in need of spiritual life, and in need of your sins to be forgiven. So if you've heard the word of God, if you heard the gospel, and snatched it away from you in a short time there, and you don't understand it, there's somebody behind that, and that is the evil one, brothers and sisters. That's one type of person. Second type, they don't really believe the gospel. Matthew 13, 5 and 6. The seed is the word of God. Now, others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The explanation is verse 20 and 21. The one whom seed was sown on the rocky places is the man who hears the word of God, word immediately, and receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecutions arise because of the word, immediately he falls away. Brothers and sisters, that's rocky soil. He hears the word with joy and then apparently seems to believe, but walks away. So are you a person that at one time in your life received the word of God, received the gospel, and said, you know, I think I understand, but hard times came, you were persecuted in a way, and you walked away from the word of God? I've seen it over the years, time and time again, some on fire for God, some on fire for Christ, and then we would say, that's wonderful. And then 3-4 months later, 6 months later, they don't believe. Because they never believe, brothers and sisters. But who's behind it? The evil one. Again, I said it. He's behind the world system. He's behind the system that creates affliction and persecution. 1 John 5:19, the second part of that verse says, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Right? The world system is in his power. He controls the world system, brothers and sisters. Ephesians 2:2 says, we're talking about being alive in Christ before that. It says, you formerly walked according to the course of this world, unsaved, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. The evil one there, he said, is called the prince of the power of the air. He is in operation today, initiating affliction and persecution on men on the verge of receiving and putting faith in the gospel message. And I've seen it over and over and over again in my life as a Christian for 30 years. And I'll give you two examples. I shared this a few weeks ago. You know, back in the mid-90s, me and my lovely wife got saved. Amen. We were in a nice evangelical church at the time. Amen. And we had a Bible study in our home. And it was whatever night, you know, at 7:30, and we invited some unsaved people, and we happened to invite my unsaved cousin. who at that time was a female, about 25. We were about maybe late 20s. And her fiance. And we were going through the book of John, and we were going through verse by verse, and we got to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And we got to that point in the verses, right? And Nicodemus before that. You've been born again. And we said, and we asked them, would you like to receive, would you like to pray for new life in Christ? And they said, yes. They said, yes. And they prayed. And they prayed, and they said, I believe. They started coming to our study. They started coming to our church. They started coming to this evangelical ministry we had. They were doing very well. They were engaged to get married within a year. Then my cousin said to my uncle at the time, I prefer to get married in that evangelical church. I prefer that the pastor of that church marry me and my fiance. And this is the persecution and affliction that came, because my uncle told them, if you get married in that church, I am not going to pay for the wedding. If you get married under that pastor, I am not going to pay for the wedding. You have to satisfy my wishes and get married in the traditional church we were brought up in, which, by the way, brothers and sisters, is a dead church, was a dead church. I'm not going to say what it was, but it's a dead church that maybe has some life in it by accident, but not by purpose. And they, my cousin, female, said, you know what, Dad, this is my uncle, I won't get married in that church. Now, that's 25 years ago now. And what's happened? Fast forward, 25 years later, she walked away. She doesn't go to that church, the traditional church she got brought up in. She got divorced. Her husband ended up being an alcoholic and having drug addictions. She had three children. Her two sons actually have drug addictions in their teens, late teens, and has one daughter that seems to be okay. Doesn't speak to her mother. Conflict in the family. Okay? And my uncle had passed several years later, so he's no longer around. But what's my point? They received the word. They seemed to believe it at one certain point. But when affliction came, pressure came, they walked away. Now the question becomes, is she really saved? And I would say, probably not. I don't know her heart, only God does. But I know this. My two sisters communicate with her a lot, and they're continually praying for the last 25 years that she would get to know Jesus Christ. But see what happens? She apparently believes, but when afflictions and pressure start, she walks away. Does that describe you, brothers and sisters? Does that describe you? I've seen it over and over again. I've also seen people do this. You know, they think God is the cash register in the sky. They got sold a bill of goods about prosperity gospel. If I only pray, hey, yeah, my sins are forgiven, wonderful. But God's the cash register in the sky. He'll give me all my material wants. He'll give all my material things I need, and I will become prosperous in that way. Brothers and sisters, that's not the gospel. He's looked upon as somebody who can make me rich. Really, when it comes down to it. When this happens, and it won't happen because it's not biblical, pressures of the world and saying, why isn't God doing this? They walk away, brothers and sisters. They walk away. And that's who these people are. They're still spiritually dead. They're in their sins. They're in Adam. And they never really genuinely believe the gospel message, even though they seem like to have appeared to receive it with joy in the beginning. Third type of person. They don't really trust in the gospel. Now, it's a little bit different for trusting in than believing. Matthew 3:13-7. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. The explanation, verse 22 or 13. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Brothers and sisters, does that describe you? As a person who heard the word of God, but became so consumed with the worries of the world, became so consumed with accumulating wealth, that you said, you know, I'm walking away for God, and I'm going to pursue those things. I'm going to pursue wealth Brothers and sisters, we know this. God will supply all our needs. Scripture says it. We know God meets all our core needs of love, acceptance, value, and worth, and significance. We know that God does that, brothers and sisters. But some of us get consumed with accumulation of money, accumulation of security and wealth in things, thinking that will supply and meet the need that only God can meet. We've been deceived. We've been deceived because Satan has blinded many's eyes and diverted them away from God to meet their need. He'll meet all their needs. God will always meet all your needs. Brothers and sisters, I've been, of course, of my career, laid off a few times from a job, and I've never lost one penny. Okay? God always supplied all my needs financially. Always supplied all my needs financially. And he does the same thing in a spiritual way, but he teaches you about who you are in Christ, that he loves you, and he meets your need of love. Amen? Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply all my needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And Jesus does tell us not to worry, right? Luke 12:22. Why worry about these things? And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, as what you will eat, not for your body, as what you will put on. Don't worry. I'll take care of these things. I'll take care of you." But if you heard the word of God at one point, if you heard the gospel at one point, and now all of a sudden have decided that, you know what, I'm going to pursue wealth, I'm going to pursue security and those things, you know what, brothers and sisters, you're still dead in your sins, in Adam, and you need spiritual life. You need your sins forgiven. Amen? So let's look at these three. Are you someone who has heard the word of God, the gospel, not understood it? Are you someone who's heard the word of God, the gospel, and received it with joy at a certain point, but since then have walked away from him, walked away from God? Does that describe you? Are you a person that is consumed with pursuing wealth and pursuing things to keep you from worrying about your future, not really trusting in Christ? Brothers and sisters, if that describes you, you need Christ. Amen. You need your sins forgiven. Amen. You need spiritual life in Christ. Amen. You need a Savior. There is no other way but through Jesus Christ. Do you sense something's wrong in your life? Amen. Do you have no purpose in your life? Do you sense something's wrong in your life? Do you sense and have no direction in your life? Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you that you know you're separated from God? Do you know you have no life? Do you know you need your sins forgiven? Did you believe at one point, maybe you walked away? Does the Bible not make sense? Are you pursuing money as a way for fulfillment, brothers and sisters? Do you hunger for something but don't know what it is? Brothers and sisters, you need Jesus Christ. You need spiritual life in him. And this is what Christ will do. If you believe in him, if you believe he died and rose again for the forgiveness of your sins, what does he do? He forgives your sins. He gives you eternal life. He gives you spiritual life. He gives you Christ's life because Christ ends up resides in you. He breaks the power of sin. He makes you a new creation. He guides you. He teaches you. He gives you an abundant, fruitful life with purpose and meaning. He gives you peace and he gives you joy. And he gives you a life of connection to Jesus Christ when you believe the gospel message. And brothers and sisters, being a Christian is not about doing things. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's what I want to do right now. If that describes you, and that's what you're hungering for, and that's what you're looking for, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I want you to follow along. Because this prayer is a prayer that will give you life. This is a prayer that Jesus will come into your heart and reside there. This is a prayer for forgiveness of your sins. And this is the prayer of all along. You want to pray this prayer right now. And say this: Jesus, I know I'm a sinner in the need of forgiveness of sins. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my life. Guide me and teach me all your ways. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Do you believe it? If you prayed that prayer right now, the Holy Spirit came in and you are a new creation in Christ. Amen. Amen. And I want to mention, if you did that prayer and you said that prayer and you prayed that prayer, even now and in the future, let us know so we can communicate with you and pray with you and encourage you in your walk. Amen. But if you prayed that prayer, you're the next type of person. Fourth one, ones who truly believe the gospel. Matthew 13, 8 and 9 says, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Explanation of that is verse 23 of Matthew 13. And the one whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and goes forth, some 100, some 60, some 30. Brothers and sisters, when you believe the word of God, when you believe the gospel, it says, Jesus says, you bear fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30. What is fruit, brothers and sisters? That's expressing Christ-likeness, amen? That's the fruits of the Spirit, amen? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit that he's talking about, amen? And some fruit is more noticeable than others. You know what, some people, you could say, look at the love of Christ flowing through them, and we can see love flowing through a person, amen? Sometimes you can't see being at peace, but we know that's a fruit of the Spirit as well, amen? And brothers and sisters, the trick, or not the trick, but the secret to fruit bearing is abiding in him. John 15, I'm not going to get into that right now, but abide in him, and you bear much fruit. So if that describes you, if your life has been changing, have you been progressing forward, are you maturing, are you experiencing more of Christ, are you experiencing more of the fruits of the Spirit, that is you, if you are a believer, amen? That's how we connect to God. That's how we grow in grace, amen? That's how we work. That's how God works in our lives. That's how we move forward, amen? Where are you at? Where are you at, brothers and sisters? In conclusion, where are you at? Did you never understand the gospel? You need Christ. Did you receive it with joy and then believe it for a time and not really believe it? You need Christ. You never really trust in the riches but not in the gospel message or God or Christ, brothers and sisters. You need Christ. That's my point, message today. Where are you at? If you're a Christian, amen. If you're a Christian, tell those that in the first three types about Christ, amen. Where are you at? Do you believe? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe? Where are you at, brothers and sisters? Jesus tells us and describes four types of people. Where are you at in your life? Where are you at with your relationships? Where are you at spiritually? Do you know Jesus Christ? It is so important. It's the most important thing. It's the most important question. Do you know, do you believe in the gospel that you will ever make? Make a decision for him right now, as I prayed before. Make a decision for him. Amen? And when you do, your life will change dramatically, victoriously, abundantly, with peace, joy, and direction in your life. Amen? You know what? I'm going to close this in prayer. And we will see you next time. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the parable of the sowers. Thank you, Lord, that we can look at types of people you described as people that really don't know you and then one group that does. But I pray, Lord, for those who don't know you, that you would just pierce their hearts to and let them see the need of you. Thank you, Lord, for those who are Christians, that we are connected and we bear fruit. We bear your fruit through us. And I pray as Christians, we will be fruit bearers and proclaimers of the gospel to those that don't know you. Thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your new life, our new life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.